Genesis 16 and verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarah said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress, and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees," for she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abraham named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. Or Abram. He'll change his name soon, so we'll be able to say Abraham. But at the moment, he's Abraham. Well, briefly, the story so far concerning Abraham in Genesis goes like this. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham to leave his own country and travel in faith to a place that God would show him. And eventually, that land was revealed to be the land of Canaan. And God promised to make a great nation from his descendants. He promised to protect Abraham by blessing those who blessed him and cursing those people who cursed him. God also promised that all the families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. There were two main problems for Abraham concerning God's promises. Firstly, his wife Sarah was barren, she couldn't have any children. And the second problem, when he arrived in the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised him, he discovered that it was full of people who were not going to get out of the way and let Abraham occupy the whole of the land. Nevertheless, Abraham worshipped God and faithfully obeyed his instructions. But after a while, there was famine in the land. And Abraham went down with his wife and family to Egypt to get food. And it was in Egypt that Abraham made his first mistake. He lied to the Egyptians about his wife. He told the Egyptians that his wife was his sister. He did this because he feared their reaction. If they knew the truth, Abraham thought, they would kill him and take his wife into Pharaoh's household. Abraham's first mistake was he didn't really trust 100% in God's promise to protect him. However, God kept his promise And he brought a great plague into Pharaoh's household. And after that, it was discovered that Sarai was in fact Abram's sister. Not Abram's sister, but his wife. And Abraham was deported from Egypt with his wife and family. Now, Abraham repented of his sin and then got back into a right relationship with God. And when Abraham returned to Canaan, there were more problems, this time between Abraham's family and his herdsmen and nephew, his Lot, their family and the herdsmen. They decided to avoid great conflict, that they would go their separate ways. Abraham took the humble approach and gave Lot a choice of all of the land. He could choose the whole land, go wherever he wanted, and he chose the land of the plain of Jordan, which was quite close to the city of Sodom. And the choice he made seemed right on a human level, but later it resulted in him being involved in a local war, and he and his family were captured and taken prisoner. Well, Abraham, with the help of 318 servants, made a night raid on the enemy camp, rescued Lot and his family and all his possessions, and brought him back. And after this successful mission, the king of Sodom tried to influence Abraham by offering him money and goods, but Abraham refused to take anything from him. He declared his allegiance by giving his tithe to Melchizedek, king of Salem, that was Jerusalem. We discovered that Melchizedek was a type of Christ. He acknowledged that he followed the same God as Abraham, the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, following this, God made a covenant with Abraham to confirm all the promises that he had made in Genesis chapter 12. And we discovered last week from Genesis 15 verses 6 that Abraham believed in God's promises and it was accounted to him or credited to him for righteousness. So God placed his righteousness into Abraham's spiritual bank account. And we learned one very important thing about this covenant compared to all other covenants that took place at that time. The important thing was that normally when a covenant was made in those days, both parties walked between the cut animals, signify that they were both responsible for that covenant. However, in this case, God put Abraham into a deep sleep and only God walked between the animals in the form of a smoking oven and a burning torch. And this signified that it was only God's responsibility for keeping the covenant. Although Abraham had to keep trusting God, it was God's responsibility to fulfill that covenant. And God also gave Abraham a geography lesson and pointed out to him the extent of the land that he was going to occupy in the future. That was from the river of Egypt, the Great Nile, to the river Euphrates. Quite a big area, and we showed it up on the map. Most of that area is occupied by Islamic State at the moment. Now, you would now think that Abraham was quite safe, he was quite secure, and he was just waiting for God to produce his promise, going to wait for his first child to be born. However, that was not the case. Time had moved on, and with time came temptation, and with time came uncertainty. And now we move into chapter 16. And as I studied chapter 16 this week, there were three things that came out to me very clearly that I want to present to you this morning. The three things are, in verses 1 to 2, Abraham listened to the wrong voice. Abraham listened to the wrong voice in verses 1 and 2. The second thing, verses 3 and 6, Abraham paid the price of disobedience. And the third thing we're going to look at is verses 7 to 16. God poured his grace into the problem. So first of all, verses 1 to 2 of chapter 16. Abraham listened to the wrong voice. Well, it had been 10 years since God first promised that Abraham would have a child. And we know from the text, verse 3, that the gap of time between chapter 12 and 16 was 10 years. Remember that Sarai was barren, past childbearing age. She had waited 10 years for God to perform his miracle birth, and it hadn't happened. So instead of waiting for God to perform a miracle, she decided to take the matter into her own hands. Sariah poured her human wisdom into God's divine plan. She was not prepared to wait any longer for God to produce a miracle. Her mistake was not believing that God was able to miraculously fulfill his promise and provide a child for her through the seed of Abraham. If Sariah had really believed in God's promise, she would have waited for God to produce his miracle in his time. However, Sariah had a better idea than waiting for God to produce a miracle. She decided to offer Abraham one of her maids in order for him to have a child through her. This seemed a good idea at the time to Sariah. Sadly, the text tells us that Abraham heeded the voice of Sariah. Verse 2. So Sariah said to Abraham, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain a child by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sariah. Abraham listened to the wrong voice. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3, how Eve heeded the voice of Satan and was persuaded to eat from the fruit of the tree that God had commanded her not to eat. Well, here was the same situation. Sariah listened to the voice of Satan, and Abraham listened to the voice of Sariah, and he went ahead and followed another plan. Well, we're going to stop here just for a moment to make an application, because I think it's a very important one. The biggest problem that all Christians face in life is actually listening to the wrong voice. Listening to the wrong voice. The biggest battle that a Christian faces is the battle of the mind. If Satan can influence your mind, then he will soon be able to influence your decisions and later on your behavior. We live in a world today that is so removed from God's wisdom and God's word, the Bible, that even believing Christians do not often want to wait and trust God for a miracle in a difficult situation. And I know that it's very difficult to trust God fully in any situation when your circumstances give no evidence that God is with you and God is about to work on your behalf. It's not in the translation, but we never know when God is about to work on our behalf. Now, I remember 32 years ago sitting down with a lovely Baptist minister. He was a lovely man of God. And I remember telling him that I really felt that God was calling me to sell up my home and go to Bible college in Edinburgh in Scotland. And he sat there, and he, very mature man, he listened to my story. And then he asked me how I was going to provide for my wife and children. We only had one child at the time, and all my Bible college fees. And I replied that I was going to sell everything that I had, including my home. And when the money ran out, I was going to trust that God would provide for me because he was calling me to serve him. Sadly, the Baptist minister said, "God doesn't provide miracles of faith like that." Then he proceeded to give me human examples of people who had lived by faith, but he had had to personally provide for them. He had to bail them out because their faith living wasn't working. And he was trying to persuade me that today we can't trust God for his miracle provisions in the way in which people in the Bible trusted God. Well, fortunately, I did not heed the voice of wisdom from this man. I continued to trust in the voice of God from the Bible. And the Bible text in Philippians 4 verses 19 is deeply embedded into my heart and mind. This is what it says. "And my God," now don't forget, Paul was writing to this church at Philippi, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now this promise was given to a church that was faithful in their financial giving. And I knew that if I was faithful in my tithes and my giving to God's work, then he would provide for me. Therefore, for 32 years, I have seen God's miraculous provision for the needs of my wife and my family. Now, it's not been easy. We've had to wait sometimes for the last moment for God to provide. We've also had to do without things when they weren't really essential to our basic needs. He provided what we needed, not what we wanted. Sometimes we need very little just to exist and have our needs met. So my advice is to always listen to the voice of God who speaks through the Word of God, the Bible. You see, there are plenty of voices in the world today. There are plenty of people who will tell you to do all sorts of things, but there's only one God, and he speaks through his word, the Bible. Now remember David in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 10 to 14. I'll read it because it's quite relevant on how David thought about God in his difficult problem. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10. And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. He couldn't trust God. He wanted to know how many people he had in his army. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Now when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I will offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him, and he said, Shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies, while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider and see what answer I shall take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Imagine having those three choices. Please let us fall into the hand of God, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So even in his punishment, David chose to fall into God's hands rather than into the hands of man. So always choose God's way and he will honor you. No matter what the situation you're in, no matter how difficult it is, if you choose God's way, confirmed in the Bible, then he will honor you. So even in punishment, choose God's way. So that's the first point, that Abraham made a mistake because he heeded the voice of his wife. He listened to the voice of Satan through his wife. The second point that is quite clear is verses 3 to 6, that Abraham paid the price of disobedience. Abraham took the advice of his wife and had a child through her maid called Hagar. Now, you would expect Sarai to be pleased with the result after it was her suggestion in the first place, and you would think that everything will be lovely and happy now. And as soon as her maid Hagar had conceived, Sarai became despised in her eyes. And in verse 5, we're told that Sarai blamed Abraham for the situation. She's the one that thought of it, but Abraham got the blame. Abraham then shifted the blame back to Sarai and said, it's your maid, do what you like with her. And the result was that Sarai dealt harshly with Hagar, and as a result, Hagar ran away from Sarai. And because Abraham listened to the wrong voice, the voice of his wife, he paid the price of disobedience. Now the Bible is very clear here that whatever we sow, shall we also reap. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 10. Very important biblical principle, we mustn't forget this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. It's possible to be deceived, so do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, there are not many people today who are prepared to take responsibilities for their own mistakes. What happens is they usually blame other people for their mistakes. And they seek other people to make things right for them without taking responsibility for their own situation. I see it time and time again, certainly in the United Kingdom. People who never learn by their mistakes keep on making the same mistake. Now, God is very clear on this subject. We need to be careful what we sow. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, Paul is talking about money here. He's not saying that if you put lots of money into the offering at OIC, that God's going to count all the money you've put in and give you lots more back. What he is saying here, it is how you give that matters. So if you give your tithes and your offerings with a generous spirit in your heart, then you will receive a spiritual reward. In verse 8 it says that you will always have what you need. So as you give to the Lord, he will always provide for you. He's not going to give you a Rolls Royce if a smaller car will do the job. So may God help us to think and pray much before making big decisions. You see, sadly, Abraham messed things up for himself, his wife, and Hagar. And why did it happen? It happened because he listened to the wrong voice. He made a bad decision, reaped the consequences of that bad decision. So we really have to pray that God will help us to make good decisions in our lives, to always pray and think through before we act. We will reap what we sow because God is not mocked. So we'll either reap the good things or the bad things. So before we make decisions, we need to think and pray through everything that we do. So Abraham listened to the wrong voice. Abraham paid the price of disobedience, and then we have a big mess. And verses 7 to 16, God poured his grace into the problem. Sarai made a bad decision. Abraham made a bad decision. Hagar's life is now messed up, so she ran away and she stopped by a spring of water in the wilderness. Abraham abdicated his responsibility to Sarai. Sarai treated Hagar badly, and who was left to help Hagar? The text tells us that the angel of the Lord cared about her situation. The angel of the Lord cared about her situation. So the first question we've got to ask is, who is the angel of the Lord? Many scholars believe that when the angel of the Lord is mentioned in the Old Testament, it represents an appearance of Jesus Christ. So from the context of the situation here and the decisions made by the angel of the Lord, it would appear that we are dealing with a personal appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. This is called, a theophany. And first of all, Jesus tells Hagar to return to Sarai and submit to her. Then Jesus seeks to explain the future of her child and about the greatness of her descendants. Sadly, her son will be called Ishmael, and he was going to be a wild character. Not a good reference for him. And history informs us that the Arab nation came from this child, and in a couple of weeks' time we'll kind of look at that a bit more in depth. Nevertheless, Hagar was encouraged that somebody cared. And when that somebody turned out to be Jesus, she called him, "You are the God who sees." God saw Hagar in her need. He spoke truth into her heart. And the last thing that Hagar felt like was returning to Sarai, who treated her badly. However, this was the advice of God, and she needed to obey. My final application: when the grace of God is poured into a situation, it's not always a quick fix for your problems. Maybe today you've got lots of problems, but maybe you've got a big problem and you're looking for a quick fix into your problem. And you're crying to God that he will pour his grace into the situation. Well, the grace of God poured into a situation will not always be a quick fix. However, you will know when you cry to God in your situation, you will know what he wants you to do. And you will know that he's telling you to do something. And the way out of a difficult problem is to follow God's instructions and not to seek the solutions of the flesh. Sometimes we can get into awful situations we can't see any way out, but God has a way out. It's not always a quick fix. Sometimes it's a slow process of continuing to obey his word. A young man I know went to his pastor for help, and he was seriously in debt. And his pastor said, "Do you tithe 10% of your income to this church?" And the young man says, "No, I can't afford it. I've never got enough money." And the pastor said to the young man, "Well, that's your problem. That's why you're in debt. The way out of your debt is to start obeying God's word. As your problem is spending money that you haven't got, you better start learning about money, using it wisely. And the most wisest thing you can do with your money is to give the first 10% to God's word." Well, the young man was rather reluctant, but then he took his pastor's advice, and soon he was out of debt. He was out of debt not because he had started tithing, but he had discovered that if he brought God into his situation, in his real life situation, then God was going to help him to make good decisions about his money. And the best decision was tithing the first 10% and seeing how God would instruct him to use his money wisely. So when the grace of God is poured into a problem and the person who has the problem starts obeying the Bible, then it's amazing how very positive things start happening in their life. Now may God help us to respond to his grace and to his advice when we face problems. Whenever someone comes to me with a problem, I like to point to the Bible and say, "Well, I can only give you the best solution. And the best solution is to obey God, because he has much more power than me. He has much more understanding of your situation and your future. And by obeying the word of God, he can help you to move forward in your problem." So whether you're facing a difficult situation, a difficult decision, do not heed the voice of the world. Do not heed the voice of people who are not following Jesus. Heed the voice of God's word, the Bible, and he will bless you. Let's pray.